Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, a while ago, we did interview a company in the UK that had just got permission from the government there to produce lab-grown meat for use in dog food. Now, a company in France has made an application to do the same. In this instance, to produce lab-grown foie gras. The food writer Tom Dorley is here to tell us how excited or not he is about this. Afternoon, Tom.
Good afternoon, Sean.
So, as I understand it, do I understand this correctly, you wouldn't really be a fan of foie gras anyway?
My problem, Sean, is I'm not a fan of any form of liver.
Mm.
It just tastes metallic to me. Now, I know foie gras fans will say, it's so much more than liver.
Yes.
It's sublime. Well, yeah, look, I'll eat it as a push, but
yeah.
I won't enjoy it, like.
Yeah.
And it's not an ethical thing. It probably should be an ethical thing, too, if I think about it long enough. There's a friend of mine, great environmentalist, and he was extolling the virtues of foie gras one day, and I said, yeah, but what about the cruelty? And he said, you can't taste the cruelty. Oh, God.
All right, okay.
Oh, dear, you know. Yeah, because I mean, nobody's ever managed to get a duck or a goose to explain what it feels like being force-fed. Maybe they'd say, oh, no, it's great.
Yeah, no problem at all with that.
I just rather doubt it.
Do the French actually specialise in cruel food? What's that, what's that thing you eat where you have to put a thing over your head shame?
Is that an ortolan?
Ortolan, yeah.
And who's the French president?
Yeah, I think Mitterrand used to enjoy that.
I think
that.
It's illegal now, though.
Yeah.
So maybe you put the bag over your head so nobody recognises you. Yeah.
So one could make the argument then, though, then growing this meat might be a more ethical alternative.
Yeah, I mean, you can certainly make the argument. And as I understand it, what they do is they manage to get the cells of the duck or goose liver to contain lots and lots of fat, which is, of course, what foie gras means in French. It's fatty liver. Look, I won't be eating any form of foie gras. But the terrible thing is, ethics aside, I think I'd be less inclined to eat foie gras that's made in a laboratory.
Mm.
Because for laboratory, read factory, and it's you know, all food is processed. I suppose cooking is processed food, but I just shy away from the idea of processed food. I like food that isn't mucked about.
Yes.
And I think growing food in a lab is mucking about with nature.
Yeah,
even
what
if
they're
it's
doing.
Cruel nature.
Yeah, some. A Sharon in the UK, I did say, just mentioned that who we talked to them a few weeks ago, but they've got a license from in the UK to start growing, a version of chicken that you can feed to dogs.
Yes, yes. And soon it'll be fed to humans. And look, I suppose it's consumer choice, isn't it? I mean, if people want to eat lab-grown meat, that's fine by me. I'm not going to be out protesting about it, but I won't be joining them.
Yeah, because I imagine that, there's been no reports as to what the taste is, but, you know, that old cliche about everything tastes like chicken doesn't bode well.
Chicken or tofu, I think as I understand it, with lab-grown meat, the real challenge was to get the texture right.
Mm.
So if it feels like meat, I mean, anyone who's eaten a vegan burger will know that, it's a burger, but it maybe doesn't have the texture that you expect from meat. And of course, if you're doing this in a laboratory, you get the texture right. You can mess around with the flavors. You can introduce those. So, again, I'd prefer, steak on a pan with a bit of butter.
Because the French company that are trying to do this, now there's not a lot of optimism they're going to get a license to do this. Yeah. And around the EU, various governments are vehemently opposed, not just to this application, but to the whole idea, as if it somehow is a threat to the food culture in Italy.
I think they have a point. And what you have to remember is, while, you know, we're a nation that produces a lot of food, a lot of very good quality food, particularly our beef and dairy produce, we don't have the same food culture obsession that the French have and the Italians and the Spanish. They take these things a lot more seriously, and I think it sounds very grandiose, but they have a philosophy of food. They think about food, and they regard food as being more than fuel. I think we've a tendency here, it's a post-famine thing maybe, though God knows that's a long time ago, where we concentrate on the you eat to live, not live to eat.
Yeah.
My great-great-great-great-grandfather was French, so maybe I've got a little bit of that.
You skipped that famine gene then, luckily. But I suppose, but even... You could argue it's changed a bit in Ireland to the extent that maybe your dinner on the Tuesday night is spaghetti bolognese, but you'd go out for a nice dinner and you'd want a nice dinner.
Sure. I started reviewing restaurants. I reviewed restaurants between, I think it was 1994 and last year. And the changes I saw in menus, what chefs had been afraid to do before, and now... It's in demand. But I think we're, I hesitate to say that we're an affluent nation. There are a lot of people who certainly aren't. And I don't feel much affluence myself. But combine that with travel and media. Mm. And our awareness of food is just much, much greater than it was in the past.
Having said that, did you notice towards the latter end of your reviewing days that there were fewer restaurants to do reviews in?
Absolutely. I mean, it was perfect storm. Since I stopped reviewing, which I think was in April of last year, they've been falling like ninepins. Very sad to see Dylan McGrath's two restaurants going. I'm a big fan of Dylan. I think he's a very good man, as well as being a very serious chef. Richard Corrigan's The Park Cafe in Ballsbridge, which was a fantastic place to eat, wonderful food, gone. Ukiyo, just around the corner from us where we are today. All sorts of places. And I think the real measure of how bad it is that it's not just the restaurants with, very big labor bills and rents and insurance and so forth. It's small coffee shops are closing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I won't mention the name of the coffee super group that is light on this bloody country. But, could it come to the point where we have global coffee and we've got no little independent ones?
Now, well, some of those are closing too.
True.
So they might be feeling it as well. Can I take your name? I'll be the guy standing over there. Tom Durley, thanks a million for coming into us.
Pleasure as always.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.